are going to hate. And you cannot allow yourself to be moved by that. You know what I'm saying? I want to turn to some scriptures this morning. I want to, you guys, if you can put these scriptures up, I hope you can today for them. Because I want to share with you what the Lord gave to me. And it's really, I don't even know what to call it this morning besides just hungering and thirsting after God. You know, let me ask you guys here this morning, all of you. Let me ask, do you feel different today? Do you feel revived and refreshed? Do you feel like God touched you this weekend? I just wanted to show me. And I do too. I want to be honest, I do too. Don't let that slip away. You know, you can let a fire that starts go out real easy. And what I'm going to talk to you about for just a few minutes is let that fire keep it strong. Keep pouring, thank you. Keep pouring fuel on it. And I'm going to share with you just a few things. Let's go to, first of all, I want to go to Philippians chapter 3. This one's been on my heart all morning. And I just want to say this. You guys just don't know how bad your fellow Americans around you where you live are going to need you in the days ahead. Some of you are going to step out into community centers and areas when the proverbial bovine excrement starts hitting the fan. Because they're going to be looking for somebody that's not moved by the fear. They're going to look for people who have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. The answer is you better draw near to Him, because the other side is going to be strong. You better be strong for Him. Amen. I love this Paul wrote here. We're going to start reading from verse 1. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And he says this here. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ." So wait a minute. Paul's writing this as someone already saved. Already saved. Already born again. Already filled with the Holy Spirit. Already being used mightily of God. And yet he says, I count all things loss. All of that stuff. Seeking my own righteousness by the old covenant law. All this stuff. He says, I count all that dung that I may win Christ. What is he saying? I'm going to keep pursuing him and running after him and seeking him and loving him. I'm never going to allow myself to be satisfied with what I have and where I am right now. Because with God, there is always more. There is always more revelation. There is always more knowledge. There is always more power. There is always more to do. There are always more people to reach. There are always more people to help. Always. Some people say, well, when are we going to rest? We'll rest when we sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right now, we got to labor. And we labor in this thing because we love people. We don't want people to be lost and deceived. And the world is deceived. The Bible is clear that the whole world lies under the deception of the enemy. The nature of creation is just one of the lies. Just one. There are so many lies. And it doesn't matter whether they accept it or whether they believe it at first. Our job is to continue to press in, to get closer and closer to Jesus, to be able to hear His voice, be led by His Spirit, and walk in the power of God. That's what Paul's talking about. I will not be satisfied to stay where I am. The lukewarm church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, the thing Jesus said of them, why were they lukewarm? He said, you're lukewarm because you say, we are satisfied and have need of nothing. And he said, you're deceived. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. You don't even know how much you lack because you are satisfied where you are. I think about the great revivalist who led the Pentecostal revival, the outpouring at Azusa Street that swept the world, 1906 on. And I think about him. He was praying 5 hours a day. Praying 5 hours a day, seeking God, crying out for the power of the Holy Spirit, crying out for himself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, crying out for the power of God to convict and to save the lost and to open people's eyes and that the gifts of the Spirit would flow in the church again. He's praying 5 hours a day. A black man in 1906, blind in one eye, praying 5 hours a day. And finally God speaks to him. We'd think, wow, the Lord probably tell him, take a break, lighten up, take a nap. The Lord said, pray more. So he started praying 8 hours a day. Now I'm not saying that's what you have to do, but that's what God said for him to do. And he ends up getting filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit working in his life. And God used him to lead that revival. And he was such a humble man. They said most of the time during the revival meetings that went on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at the Little Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles, that most of the time he spent, his pulpit was two egg crates, basically, the old wooden crates. They nailed them together. And they said most of the time William Seymour's head was, he was on his knees on the floor and his head in there while the service is going on. Said literally the Holy Spirit fire was on that building to the point the fire trucks came. So people sometimes would be walking down the sidewalk, would get within a few blocks of the place and fall on the sidewalk under the power of God. And then find their way to the meeting and get saved. Now I want to say this too. The Lord poured out His Spirit. And that was what He promised in the last days. He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out My Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And when that happened at the on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, this is that Joel was talking about. But if we go back and you read the book of Joel chapter 2, and you go back and you read the book of Hosea chapter 6, you find out he talks about there's going to be an early rain and a latter rain. The early rain was the day of Pentecost. The latter rain we are in now. And what we've had is God poured out His Spirit in 1906. And there was a great revival that swept the world. Really, and started in 1904 in Wales. You know what that was preparing the world for? World War I. The Great War. The Depression that was to follow. See, revival doesn't mean we're going to enter into prosperity and wonderfulness, joyness. God prepares us to be a light in a dark time. That's what this is about. That's why I don't candy coat anything. I don't have time to candy coat anything. We're so done with that. You know, I love my, some of you let's see my daughter this weekend, Bethany, and she lives in Montgomery, Alabama, the capital, about an hour away from here. And she's been going to one of those churches in Montgomery. And here's what my daughter told me. She came here for 2 days. She said, "Dad, I got more out of the last 2 days than I've gotten out of the whole time I've been at that church." She said, "It's like they feed us sugar." I said, "Yes, baby. The cotton candy's fun, but it you can't live off of it." And she said she just went to a conference they had this about a week or two ago. She said, "It was so terrible. It was so watered down. It was so sugar-coated." And I said, "You're figuring it out, honey. That's what it is. We don't have time to sugarcoat it. People don't understand that the clock is ticking. And we're in very late hours and very late times now. The Bible is very specific. You know, I really don't understand, tell you the truth, anybody that does not believe the Bible. You know, the Bible foretold 2,000 years ago that there was going to be a push for a world government. Where are we now? We have a push for a world government. I could give you quote after quote after quote after quote of world leaders in the United Nations. The push is for a one world government. The Bible told us that the day would come 2,000 years ago, that the day would come when the world would push for something to be implanted in your hand or your forehead where it would control all buying and selling. And now we have the technology in place for something to be implanted in your body that can be read and scanned and control whether you buy or sell. In the days ahead, that will happen. And this is what the book tells us. But the book tells us too that there's going to rise this one world government, and there's going to arise this one world leader. And yes, he will have 10 leaders under him. They'll make it look like it's a democracy. But it won't be. And it says, anyway, it says in the book of Daniel, it says, by peace he will destroy many. The promise of peace. What does the United Nations tell us? They're going to be the world government. What does the United States? We're here for peace. Our soldiers who are carrying guns and driving tanks, we're peacekeepers. Just wait till the Antichrist takes control of that. Peacekeepers will become occupiers. You hear what I'm saying? These things are written in this book, yes, by men. Men who were inspired, anointed, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And everything in it that they said would happen, much of it's already happened. Much of it right now is in the process of happening. And so you can bank on that the rest of it will happen, just like it says. The question is, will you be pressing in and pursuing and on the side of Jesus Christ, the true God of creation, or by default even? You may not even say, "I don't even believe in the devil." But if you don't follow Jesus, you default to the other side. Yeah. And the Bible says, I mean, Book of Revelation says the whole world is going to choose to either follow Jesus or the dragon, the devil, the serpent. That's how polarized it's going to be at the end, very end. But Paul said, "I count all things but dung, that I may win Christ." Let's read that again. Verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is a man who refused to be satisfied with where he was. He knew he could continue to grow and mature and receive more glory and power and influence and revelation, that he could reach more people, plant more churches. He was never in the mindset of I'm good right here. He was never in the mindset of I have enough of Jesus, or I have enough understanding, or I have enough revelation of the Bible, or I have enough of this or that. He was always saying all of that, I counted even the past, I put that behind me because there's things I got to do. Do you want the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, or are you going to settle for the low? You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. And see, revival, I remember the great revivalist of the 1800s, Charles Finney. He used to say, a revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. And he knew what a revival was because everywhere he went, they happened. And a lot of you don't know Charles Finney spoke in tongues, by the way. He was a Presbyterian that didn't believe one Presbyterian doctrine. It's funny how that happens when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you. You kind of move beyond where the church is. And that's okay. You know, I had to tell somebody recently, you know, they stepped out with this truth of creation that we've been talking about, and all their friends, even the man's own wife turned on him, his pastor, all these people turning against him, and he shut it down. He shut it all down. He backed away. And I said, man, look, I can't tell you what to do. You got to make up your own mind. I said, well, here's the thing about it. If you just lead, eventually some of them would follow. That's what you got to remember. It doesn't matter if they won't listen to you now. It doesn't matter if they won't follow you now. That's not the point. If you will lead, somebody will eventually follow. They'll eventually see. You know why? Because they'll see, wow, he or she, you really believe this. You believe this enough to lose everything. To lose everybody. You believe the Word of God. You believe the truth, the whole truth of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You believe it enough to lose everything. If you lose your job, if you lose your fortune, if you lose your family, if you lose everything, this is what Paul's talking about. I don't care if I lose everything. I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And listen, this is what our nation needs. Our nation needs a church that will be the light of Jesus Christ and the voice of Jesus Christ. Because so goes the church, so goes the nation. Yeah. And listen, according to what we do, is how bad or not as bad as it will be. We can change some things. We're not going to stop Bible prophecy from coming to pass, but we can change some things. It doesn't have to be. And I'm going to tell you in the days ahead, there are going to be Christian groups that are going to have to band together and be a light to the community. And they'll come in and try to intimidate those groups and kill a few. See what happens when they tell you, we're going to kill you if you don't stop this. You back away? We got people backing away now over some of the most minor things. You know, I think about the verses. Well, let's go to Matthew 5. What Jesus said. Let's turn to Matthew 5. I like hearing those pages turning.
By the way, you better have some real Bibles in the days ahead. Not just digital ones. In fact, low tech is good. A real book. Low tech. It's in your hands. Matthew 5. I want to read this right here. Verse 6. Jesus speaking here said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, who is our righteousness? Jesus. Paul was just talking about this. I don't seek righteousness which is of the law by trying to keep the old covenant law. I'm not trying to do it my own way. My righteousness is in Jesus. I'm pursuing Jesus to know him. That's where your righteousness comes from, knowing Jesus. Not going to church, not doing good deeds, not trying to keep the old covenant law. It comes from knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Do you know him? Do you hear him? Do you feel him? Are you full of his spirit? If not, then you better pursue, press in, press toward that mark until you are filled. And then once you are filled and empowered and seeing the results of that, then you still don't get satisfied. He said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness." You know, this morning when I was up praying and getting ready for today, what came to me is I thought, you know, how do we produce hunger in our life? You know, we naturally get hungry, right? And so the Lord said, "But blessed are they that do hunger." So it's not a natural process. He starts talking about something else. How do you make yourself hungry? You don't eat, right? If you don't eat, you really get hungry. When I was writing my book, I'd sit down in the morning and start writing, forget to eat breakfast and forget to eat lunch, and by the time it was around 5, why am I hungry? I hadn't eaten anything. And then I realized this morning, why are people not hungry then? For righteousness, for Jesus, for the Lord, for his word. Because we fill ourselves with other things. See, if I go eat a bunch of pie and cake and Twinkies and donuts, I'm not going to be hungry for what I really need. So what the Lord's saying here, stop filling yourself, pardon my Alabama frankness, but stop filling yourself with the crap and start eating what you need. See, I'm saying, if you want to keep this fire burning that you feel in your heart, then you're going to have to stop. There's some junk you're going to have to stop wasting your time with. Stop filling your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit with a bunch of nonsense from this world. That's how you make yourself hungry. So if you cut off the things of the flesh and the things of the world and stop feeding that into your mind and your soul, then you're going to start being hungry for the right thing, and you're going to go to Jesus to get filled and satisfied and full. And Christians, we have to stop. Look, John made it clear, 1 John chapter 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And he said, the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, these things are not of the Father, and only he, what, who does the will of the Father. This is serious. This is Romans 8. Romans 8 is clear. If you give yourself over to the carnal nature, to the flesh, and you constantly mind and seek the things of the flesh, then you have a carnal mind and you don't have the life of God. But if you cut off the things that feed the flesh and you fill yourself with the things of God, then you're going to be strengthening yourself spiritually. You've got to do it. Please, I'm going to just say, please don't let your fire go out. This is exactly really what Paul told Timothy. Don't let your fire go out. Continue to keep it kindled. I know when we went camping, Paul Frick over here, one of my other week camping not too long ago up on Mount Cheehaw, the highest point in Alabama. And let me tell you, we went up in the tower. It's flat all the way around. see for hundreds of miles. See most of Alabama from there. And I'm going to tell you what. We went up there, and it was cold. And we were on the ridge. Winds blowing across the ridge. I couldn't believe the tent didn't blow away. Man, it was wind, and it was cold. It was important to keep that fire going, wasn't it? We were constantly scrounging wood, cutting wood, keeping that fire going. Keep your fire going. Keep it going. And to keep it going, you got to keep putting something on it. You got to keep working. You got to keep chopping. You got to keep putting, you got to find the right kind of wood. An amazing dry wood burns best. Amen. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. There's something else. Now listen, the Bible tells you this, the hunger for three things. I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to tell you what he says, the hunger for three things. Number one, for God himself. David said it. Lord, I thirst for you. I hunger for you. I want you. I want your presence. I want your power in my life. I mean, Psalm 63. Read that. Lord, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Psalm 42, I thirst for you like a deer pants for the water. I'm hungry and thirsty for you. So you're supposed to hunger and thirst for God. How you do that? Don't fill yourself up with other gods, other idols, other distractions, the flesh. You're supposed to hunger for God. You're supposed to hunger for righteousness. That means to live righteous and holy. And I mean, according to the new covenant. As much as lieth in us, we should pursue holiness and obedience, temperance, self-control. We're supposed to be, you know what holy means? Separate. We're supposed to be separate from some things in this world. Right? I'm separate from the strip clubs. You understand? Simple definition. The third thing he says, and I'm going to turn to this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're supposed to hunger for the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. He actually says we're supposed to covet the gifts. You know what that means? Earnestly lust after, desire. Let me tell you, if you're lusting and desiring after the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be lusting after the things of the world. Because you can't have both. You have one or the other. Let's read this, 1 Corinthians 12. And I guess I ought to turn there before I start preaching on it. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that have you ignorant. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led. And he goes on to talk about the gifts of the Lord. Let's just read it. He says, wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh, or which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now I want you to go down, drop down all the way to the end of the chapter there. Verse 31. And he says this. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I showed you a more excellent way. So he's saying, you're supposed to covet these gifts. And he starts talking about love. And that's important. But there's churches out there, there's entire denominations that say, well, see, you should just focus on love. And that's enough. That's not what God said. I love how these people say it's one or the other. It's not. No, it's both. Covet earnestly. Desire. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. He says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Desire. If you look these words up in the Greek, means lust after, long for. I'm not going to get you to raise your hands, but I dare say probably the majority in here, you don't even know hardly what the gifts of the Spirit are, and even to know to hunger after, because the church had taught you. But yet the Bible here says, earnestly desire these things. And this is what I want to say this morning. Earnestly long for, desire, hunger, thirst. We do not want to be the church that has a form of Christianity with no power to it. And listen, I'm not talking about just power just to have the gift of tongues. I'm talking about the gift of power, because what did Jesus say? What was the first thing he said? He told the disciples, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you so that you may be power. You may have the power to be my witnesses. Listen, what I long for the power of God for is so that when I talk to somebody, witness to somebody, preach to somebody, that the power of the Holy Spirit's there to penetrate their hearts and minds, because I need more than just my words. That's what God's talking about. Do you hunger and thirst for the power? Will God confirm his word through signs and wonders and miracles and supernatural things? Yes, he will. But first, he wants us to long for and hunger for the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for him, to win lost souls, deceived people to him. And you can't do that with just words. Just words will not convince anybody. Those words have to be anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why you should be crying out for that, seeking God, for that fasting, longing. More than anything, I want people to be saved. If you said, Pastor Dean, you want to see somebody raised from the dead or 10 people saved? It's always going to be 10 people saved. You can raise somebody from the dead and they can backslide and end up in hell. You know, when I think about it, Jesus raised people from the dead, and the same people that saw him raise people from the dead really ended up crucifying him. So that's not always going to help you. I mean, they knew Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they said, we got to kill him and kill Jesus too. We can't let this go any further. They weren't impressed. It's amazing how religious demons can see a miracle and still want to kill you. Right? It's crazy, but it's true. I want to read that verse. I've quoted it several times. What time is it? Well, it's only 12:01. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. This is, God willing, this may be where we end. I'm going to quit saying I'm closing. But y'all hear my heart this morning? I know that God wants all of you to be powerful, anointed Christians in these last days. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of any truth in the Bible. And having the anointing. Let me just share this. How many of you felt at some point in this week in the presence of God touch you? Amen. I'm going to tell you why that is. Because for months and months and months, that's what we've been praying and asking him to do. Because I didn't want you to come here and just hear words. You hear me? Yes, words are important and the truth is important. But I wanted more than that. And our church prayed and prayed and fasted and prayed and saying, Lord, touch them. Touch them with your spirit. Touch them with your power. Let them know you were here. Not so it puffs me up, but so that they, when they leave, they have something that they didn't have when they came, so they can take it home and touch other people's lives. That's what it's about. And I'm going to tell you, there were tears in prayer, and there was crying out, and there was fasting so that the presence of God would be here. And you know what? Maybe it was only a trickle. But most places you go, there's not even a trickle.
Come on. Pray that.
And I pray all the time. I'm going to tell you, I pray, God, I said, Lord, I know I am not sufficient for these things. I don't want people just trusting me or my words or me as a pastor. I want people to know that the power of the Holy Ghost touched them, and they left and they were changed, and they went and made a difference where they live. That's what I want to see. Because ultimately, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, every motive is going to be exposed. Every single motive. Let's read this in Timothy, chapter verse 1. for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He is the Savior. He's the only one to wash your sins away. There's a heaven and a hell. There's eternal life or eternal judgment and damnation. We just told them the basic truth, but the power of the Holy Spirit came down. And they were in tears. And they melted down, and we knelt down in front of the mall front door and led them all to Jesus right there. That's what we need to do, and that's why we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit on us. And that we have to turn away and stop fooling around with dead Christianity. And listen, I'm going to say this. There is nothing more dead than this Torah Hebrew roots Christianity. There is no power in that. You might feel kind of righteous and hate other people who are not doing it the way you're doing it. But I can tell you the Holy Spirit will not anoint that. He hasn't, and he never will, because that is the past and we must move forward. You hear me? People going in that are going backwards. And I know there's a lot of good, well-meaning people going into that. But being sincere doesn't mean that you're right. You can be sincerely wrong. Let's finish reading this. So he gives this list. He says there will be basically a form of Christianity, a form of godliness, but that will deny, reject, disavow the power. The Greek word there is dunamis, so it means the supernatural, miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. That basically the people who deny the power also are controlled by lust. Fleshly lust, sexual sin, and immorality. Why? Because if you won't lust after the things of God, you will lust after the things of the flesh. You will, because that is the way it is. You can't have both. You never can have both. That's why Jesus said, be hot or be cold, make up your mind, pick a side, go all the way one direction or the other. Because if you choose to be lukewarm, you will just be filled with lust. And for some, it may not be sexual lust, but it may be lust for material things, lust for whatever, lust for power or lust for prestige or lust for fame or, you know, notoriety of some kind or success of some kind. He says this will be the problem in the last days. A Christianity that doesn't pursue the power, and because of that, they're going to be filled with lust. And then he says this about them. And we say this about them, but it can be us in a moment if we allow it. He says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They hear sermon after sermon. They go to church service after church service, but they never really come to the knowledge of the truths they need in the scriptures to set them free. The truth sets you free. Just knowledge, just information. And if you choose, see these people, there's a lot of people in the truth movement. They're getting a lot of information. They're learning all the time, new things, but they never really come to the truth. Who is Jesus? And the fruit of coming to the full truth is freedom. Freedom. From what? Lust. Lust of the world. Lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Listen, an idol is simply anything you lust after more than you do God. Pastor Dean, I long for God. But I won't turn off the TV or the phone or the pornography or whatever. Or stop the affair. Or stop the premarital sex. Or the drinking. Or the drugs. Or the pills. I love God, but all this other stuff. No. Let's just be truthful. Yeah, there's a part of you that wants God. There's a part of you that really loves that other stuff more, if that's what you're doing. And true Christianity just says, I'm forgetting now those things that are behind. I'm done with that. You know what, know why I'm standing here today? Why I'm able to preach like this? Why I'm able to say to you, I am not a hypocrite. I live this life, not perfectly, but I live it. I don't cheat on my wife. I'm not addicted to pornography. I'm not running after the world. I don't care about money or fame. That's not my goal. If it was, I'd preach a whole lot different. I'd preach like Joel Osteen. But the reason is because in 1987, in June of 1987, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my fornication, my pornography, addiction, my drug use, my drunkenness, partying. I was addicted. I really just couldn't. I loved to drink. I did all kind of drugs. I was just a party machine. But when the Holy Spirit, see, true salvation is when, and true repentance is when you're convicted of that so much. You see that the destruction of it. You see the ugliness of it. You see how God feels about it. But when I got down and said, okay, Lord, I'm done with it. I'm done with the fornication. I'm done with the pornography. I'm done with the drugs. I'm done with the drunkenness. I'm done. Because I was just getting more and more depressed. It was more of a darkness creeping over me, and I said, you know, and in the last few fights I got into, knives and guns were stuck in my face, and yeah, the last fight I was in, I fought some dude. I'm 6 foot tall and 220 pounds, and this dude was like, I think he's probably about 6'5 and about 250 pounds, and he wasn't fat, right? And I was like, I'm gonna get killed one of these days. And I got on my knees and said, I'm done with all. I'm done with the bars. I'm done with the, I'm done. I'm done with the chasing women. I'm done with the rock music. I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm done. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to go all the way with you, or I'm not going at all. And it's simple. That's what we really, it's what we all have to do. There is no other way. You cannot go halfway. You will not make it if you go halfway. Can we stand this morning? Alec, could you come? Just play a little bit. Yes.
The Lord said, this is just the beginning, and what you've gotten here and what you've learned, to take it back and spread it.
Amen. Here's what we're going to do this morning before we go. And again, we're not in a hurry. If you've been living that lukewarm Christian life this morning, and even if you've been still kind of acting through this weekend, this is the time now to repent. And we don't do things in the church secretly. We do them publicly. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. So to this morning, this is a call. If you've been living that lukewarm Christian life, you've been living in sin. Or maybe you've never really truly been born again because you never truly understood that it meant full repentance, a full dying to self, a full change. If that's you this morning and you're ready to be done with the world and the lust of the world and the things that are in the world, and you're ready to go all the way with Jesus, then you need to make that official. And if that's you, I want you to come up here and just stand across here. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment to the Lord. You're going to make a commitment, a vow to the Lord, so you better not do it unless you mean it. So if that's you, I want you to come this morning. See, honesty is the first step right there. Telling the truth to yourself and about yourself and admitting it to others, it's the way. But let me tell you what he's going to do for you. He's going to do for you what he did for me when I finally said I was done with it all. God said when I was serious and I said, Lord, I'm done with it all, I repent. Boy, it wasn't but a few weeks later that I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a few weeks later that not only the gift of tongues came out of my life, but the gift of prophecy, word of knowledge. I was seeing people get saved. I mean, when your first convert's a Satanist, that's the power of the Holy Spirit right there. I didn't make any of that happen. That just happened because she recognized the power of God on me, and it was stronger than the power of Satan she had. She said, I want this Jesus that you have. And it's all because, you know, I was 19 years old and I didn't know hardly any of the Bible. But she knew. He's real. He's real. Power, some power's on him I've never seen before. You don't have to know the Bible like a Bible scholar. You don't have to be old, you don't have to be young, you just have to be sold out all the way. I'm done with sin, I'm done with compromise, I'm done with lukewarm, I'm done. Yeah. Anybody else before we pray this morning? Let me tell you, there's something powerful about stepping forward out of your seat in church. I know people think it's silly, some people think, oh, that's not necessary. There's something about it. I'm telling you, I've walked down those aisles in churches and walked up to the altar to either repent or admit something or going through a rough time and needing help and prayer, and there's something about it. But I'd like my wife to come, Paul. Because we're going to pray for you again. You know, we're going to pray this morning after you pray this prayer with me. We're going to go through here and we're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on you. What we're going to lay hands on you for is just that God would impart even more of his fire to you, more of his Holy Ghost power. Because there is something. Paul said that the gifts came on Timothy when he laid hands on him. He said, you have gifts from you through the laying on of hands. So there's something to that too. See, my problem is I just believe the Bible and we just ought to act on it. People think it's weird. But I know because I've experienced it. The reason I went to the Brownsville Revival week after week after week, because when I went there, and Steve Hill, the evangelist, I said, Lord, if this is you, and I felt his presence there, but I said, if it's you, have Steve Hill, because I knew Steve Hill and I knew he was real. I said, have Steve Hill step down from the podium and walk straight to me and pray for me. Right after I prayed that, in my head, I didn't say it out loud. Steve Hill walked down from the podium, went straight to me, and he didn't even get his hand on me. And I hit the floor. He didn't even touch me. It was the Holy Spirit, the presence of God hit me. And I got up, even though I was saved, even though I was filled with the Holy Spirit, even though I was pastoring the church, I got up with a fresh anointing, a fresh fire, a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit. And when I went back to my church and started preaching, the power of God fell in that place. And I was like, what is going on with this? I just got prayed for. It's all I did. I went to a church service. I got prayed for. Because when there's revival flowing, the Holy Spirit's flowing. This is a revival, folks. This is just a.
It's not just a call.
It's a snapshot. We're getting a little bit. We're getting a little taste. But all of us can take it deeper and further. And the fact that you've come from so many different places, this can spread to the whole nation. This can spread to other nations. And when I say this, what am I saying? What am I talking about? This. I'm talking about just people that love Jesus and that believe the whole book and are willing to step out on the street or start a new church or start a Bible study in their home. Do something with what you have. Even if it's just starting to really pray every single day and to start fasting and to start studying your Bible. You're going to go from here and do something. Because it's amazing when you do things, you also get more. When you help somebody else, it's like you give away something, you help somebody else, and then the Lord fills you with more. So those of you who have come this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven,
Father in heaven,
I confess that I have been lukewarm.
I've
allowed myself
to be satisfied,
fed
by things of this world.
Today,
I declare
I am done
with those sins,
lust,
evil,
distractions,
idols
of this world.
Jesus,
you are Lord.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my lukewarmness.
Forgive me for not seeking power.
Your power.
Your presence.
And your glory.
Father, today,
I ask
to be forgiven.
Washed.
Cleansed.
By the blood of Jesus.
And filled.
With the resurrection power
of Jesus.
Today,
I am done.
I repent.
I'm going to walk a new road
that's running after you.
In Jesus' name.
Go ahead, brother. Now, what we're going to do. Y'all just stay where you are. Just keep your heads bowed for a minute and be in prayer and worship. I want, Kevin, Paul. Y'all come over here. We're just going to come to, look, again, right now, what this is about is we're just going to be praying that God fill you and touch you, that a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon you. And if you believe that, I'm telling you, you're going to see a change. In fact, I'm telling you, some of you are about to turn into, it's going to be like night and day, your lives. You've been sitting kind of in the shadows, and you're coming out of the shadows, and you're going to be a bright light in public for the Lord. You're going to be in awe, because you're going to know, I never thought I could teach Bible study. I never thought I could start a church. I never thought I could go out on the street and preach about Jesus. I never thought that I could impact people with not just my words, but the power of the Holy Ghost. It's going to happen. As you take what you receive and
more of you in their lives. An anointing, a fire burning in their heart that they won't let go out. That they won't let the flesh or the devil quench. That they won't be distracted by the world anymore. By anything. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fire. Fire of God. Feel my brother. Feel him. Anoint him. Fresh oil from heaven. Fire of God from heaven. You want us to have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in us. The baptism of fire.
Yes.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing up and out and through. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Things upon you, brothers. He's free. He's going to free you too, Lord. Even more, he's going to free you.
Yes.
He's freeing you to be the man of God that he's called you to be. You're going to see a difference. You pray. When you go to pray, when you go to worship, spend time with the Lord, and then when you go out to talk to people and witness, you're going to see a change. I'm telling you right now, that's from the Lord. You're going to see, you're going to be shocked, because there's a fresh anointing and impartation of the Holy Spirit upon you. That's what we all need. We need the Lord. We need you, Lord. More, Lord. More Jesus. More, Lord. Fire of God, fill my sister. Fill her to overflowing, Lord. You said, Lord, your anointing, Lord, you would fill us, that our cup would run over. Let it run over. That means more than enough. In the name of Jesus, fire of God, fill her, anointing. Anoint her, Lord. Fill her to overflowing. Break every yoke and every hindrance of the devil that's held her back. Father, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirits of fear. I bind the spirits of torment. I bind the spirits of confusion. I bind these devils and break their power and tear down their strongholds. I rebuke and command the spirit of fear to go in the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name.
No fear of man.
Yes.
No fear of what other women might say.
Yes.
No fear.
Yes. No fear anymore.
And can I just say something? You women, quit being mean to each other. I'm not picking on you. Us men, we have our issues, but y'all can be sneaky mean to each other. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, bless my brother, Lord. I know there's more you're going to do. What country are you from?
I'm from Nigeria.
Nigeria. Pardon?
Lagos.
Lagos?
Lagos, yes.
Been there twice. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. You may not think this. especially with those other people that have been fighting and resisting, that have been fighting and resisting. Jesus' name. Has anybody not been prayed for that's up here? Anybody, raise your hand. Anybody, raise your hand. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for this sister to do a mighty work. I thank you so much, mighty work. I thank you so much, God, where you have brought her from. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for blessing and power. Maturity, deliverance, freedom, healing. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank that in Jesus' name. I thank you. And right now, I just ask you for the fire and power and glory, power and glory. Of the Holy Spirit right now to come. Holy Spirit right now to come in her and upon her, even greater, Lord, even greater. She may greater. She may see the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus, I plead over her right now, Lord. Bind all spirits that have attacked and oppressed. Satan, we bind you and rebuke you and command, rebuke you and command you to looser and go. Looser and go. In Jesus' name. Break through to her. Breakthrough to her husband's heart and mind. Jesus, let the light of you win him by. What he sees. How you treat him. How you show him respect, even though he doesn't agree with you, doesn't believe. How you don't fight him on things. That, just be. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just break off of them the curse of Roman Catholicism, false religion, idolatry of prayers to Mary, saints. We break off that idolatry. And right now in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of Mystery Babylon in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of idolatry and Mary worship. I bind those demons. Break their power. Rebuke them and command them to go from both of these right now. Loose them. Leave them. You spirits of idolatry. You spirits of Mary worship. You spirits of Mystery Babylon. Go from them. Loose and leave them now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of that false church over them in Jesus' name. Spiritual chains. To that forgery of Lucifer. That forgery of a church. I thank you, Lord, for your freedom. That you've already been truth. And there's repentance. And there's forgiveness. And isn't it awesome to be free to know? You don't have to do the sacraments. And the penance and the... Who had you? You're very well.
Oh, okay. They're there. All right. Like I said, we're not in a hurry. So, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for this sister. I thank you for what you're doing in her life and her heart, and I pray right now for more. More, Jesus. More of you. More of your glory. More of your fire. More of your power, Holy Spirit. So I pray this right now in Jesus' name for that. Lord, she wouldn't be up here if she didn't have desire for more. And so, Lord, I pray that you give her the desire of her heart that's for you and to do your will and to flow and to walk in spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray this right now in Jesus' name for that impartation, that anointing, that fire and power to fill her and overflow through her. I pray this right now in Jesus' name for that impartation, that anointing, that fire and power to fill her and overflow through her. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. I thank you. The Lord, you know, he just told me you are one of his that are hungry. And you're thirsty. And you want him. And you're willing to do what you need to do to be filled. You're not going to be satisfied where you are. And he's going to use that in a mighty way in your life. And he's going to move you out of some ruts you've been in and struggles you've been in. And you're going to look back on him and go, I believe that I got out of that. You know, season of my life where I look back on now and go, how in the world did I get out of that and make it to here? And you're going to do that. You're going to look back at yourself in a few years and you're going to, wow, God has moved in my life. I can say it. I'm going to tell you right now. I look back and God has moved in my life. Father, more Jesus. More of you. More Jesus. Fire of God. Fire of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, Lord. Not just this weekend, Lord, but you've been stirring us. You've been moving. Stirring us. You've been moving. Thank you. You know, I'm going to tell you, I want to tell everybody, there's blessing. This is not high percentages. I'm telling you, there's a blessing upon people who have the ability. Because see, what the flat earth thing and the creation thing is done, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. People have the ability to say, I believe. That's why there is a move of the ability to say, I believe what God says above what everybody in the world says. And I'm telling you, there's a blessing and there's an anointing. That's why there is a move of God happening in this. Because there are people saying, I don't care what the world thinks.